You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener and checking us out every week on Afro Vibes Radio. But hey, if you somehow don't get a chance to check us out Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Afro Vibes Radio, please don't hesitate to check out our podcast page. That's anchor.fm/HW Connection. That's HWCONNECTION. Again, check us out on our anchor.fm podcast page. Check out all the shows uploaded there immediately after the show airs on Afro Vibes Radio. Also, if you want to listen to the show live on Afro Vibes Radio, please download the app, AfroVibesRadio.com. You can download it from the website or go to your local or favorite, mobile OS app, be it Android or iPhone. Download the app on your phone today. You can stream the show as well as the awesome Afrobeat Music Collection live on your phone for free. Again, no money down, all free, all awesomeness. Do it today. Again, if you want to reach out to me personally, you can always get at me on Instagram. My name, Dr. Barry MD, DrBarryMD. Also, you can email me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. That's Dr. Barry, DrBarryHealth@gmail.com. And last but not least, Facebook is also where we're at, posting all the shows as well as other exciting articles. Check us out at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. Any feedback, any even sponsorship opportunities, because we are very highly listened podcast, always looking for sponsors. Check us out if you're interested in sponsoring the show. And also, you can do it on the Anchor FM page. You can donate, become a super sponsor. We're going to get a lot of cool freebies for those people who do sign up. So check us out again. It's Dr. Barry here. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast / radio show. It's your host, Dr. Barry here. I want to thank you guys for listening to the what we call the best health and wellness radio show on the interwebs, and is also broadcasting on the best Afro Vibes radio / TV network now, guys. So yes, we're here on Afro Vibes talking about health and wellness, and of course, the topic of the year, if you will, is the coronavirus and how, you know, it's still a thing. Now, you know, as you know, we've been talking about the coronavirus pretty regularly here for the past few months, and we're going to, you know, continue talking about that, but I'm going to try to do something different. I want to incorporate some health and wellness topics like we used to do. For my old school fans, you know that we were really focused on really bringing different health and wellness topics to the forefront every week and trying to, you know, keep that, you know, variety of topics going. And of course, since this year in the pandemic, you know, we've been kind of really overly focused on coronavirus. And when I say overly, I'm meaning that the podcast, if you will, has been focused, you know, fairly heavily on coronavirus, and which is still very, very important. And that's kind of the reason why we did that. However, we want to make sure that we're, you know, still paying homage to the true, you know, intentions of the original, you know, thoughts behind the podcast when it was created. And that was to bring health and wellness topics to the forefront to help, you know, get people, you know, educate on some of these things, you know, that are out here. So, you know, but, you know, coronavirus obviously is still very important. So we're going to definitely, you know, still focus on some of the big news topics, but I want to make sure we get some of those health and wellness topics in here as well. So today we're going to really talk about some of the benefits of being fit and, you know, working out and trying to take physical fitness seriously, because, you know, one thing we're seeing consistently regarding the coronavirus is that or just really everything in general, is that obesity can increase your risk for a lot of issues that can cause serious problems with your health and wellness. Like we said before, we had a whole show on obesity. Guys, check out the podcast archives. Of course, you can find those on anchor.fm/HW Connection. All one word there. We've talked repeatedly about the importance of fitness and being active and trying to, you know, keep your fit levels up just to boost your energy, increase your metabolism, and improve your immunity. And this is really being reflected currently in this whole coronavirus pandemic as far as the benefits of being fit and active and potentially having those benefits improve your immunity to keep you protected from various ailments like, you know, viral infections, for instance, like the coronavirus. So back to the kind of overall numbers. This is, again, the first day in October. So just give you guys some reference of the 2020. So today we're looking at approximately 34 million coronavirus cases globally. I mean, total people been infected. Now, people who have recovered from the coronavirus, it's about 25,400,000. So, you know, a good number of folks still actively, have recovered from 34 million. And it's about 9 million, about 8 million active infections. 7.6 million active infections and about 1 million deaths. So we've crossed the million mark for number of deaths globally. And unfortunately, a lot of those are being kind of distributed to certain countries. And it's really unfortunate because it was predicted that, you know, when this coronavirus thing was beginning, that a lot of the countries who are truly, you know, what we call developing, meaning having low economies, relatively poor health infrastructures, were potentially, you know, at a severe risk for, you know, severe coronavirus complications as far as, you know, hospitals being overwhelmed and overall, increase in morbidity and mortality throughout the nations. And, the experts, for instance, we talked about this briefly, but I'm going to talk about a little bit some more. Like, a lot of the countries, especially in the African continent, were really predicted to have pretty, you know, horrific, death numbers and everything else. People be dying in the street. But for some reason, it's not going that way. It seems like, you know, countries that are relatively poor, especially in the African continent, have been having relatively low reports of deaths. But for some reason, the developing nations like the United States, Europe, of course, UK, France, and so forth, have really had a lot more deaths, if you will, as far as per capita. Now, they're still trying to figure out why that is, but, you know, we're going to explore some of that briefly with some of the news articles that have come out addressing that. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the whole hardcore numbers here. Okay, USA has about 7.4 million active cases. So total cases that have had in the United States. Many people are saying that this has been a colossal failure of the Trump administration. Again, this is not a political podcast, but many of those in the health and science community have been frustrated with the administration's approach toward the coronavirus, and many believe is that has contributed to the high number of deaths per capita we've seen in the United States here. So again, one thing we'll say, the United States, we are definitely number one with testing. The United States tests more than most countries, with the exception of the UK per capita, with 300,000 tests per million people being administered. So it's pretty good. About one third of the population now is getting tested fairly regularly, or have been at least tested one time, I should say, not regularly, but. So U.S. is testing a lot, and we're detecting a lot, and therefore we have a lot more cases, especially compared to other nations. USA has about 40,000 cases per day now, so we're ticking upwards slightly. There is definitely an increase there, and some of the states that are responsible for that is California, has been leading the pack, and we've talked about some of the reasons why California particularly have a very high number of what we call people living in multi-generational families, meaning multiple people in homes. And people think that this, combined with other increase in people who are in jobs that are considered higher risk because they're exposed to people on a regular basis, like delivery drivers, so forth. These are some of the reasons why some of these populations are being increasingly affected, particularly the Latino population, the lower socioeconomic population, especially the African American community as well. So it's been, you know, a difficult issue for California to kind of get a grasp on this coronavirus. There's been a lot of measures by the government to even help, especially with the severe homeless population in California. And they believe also that's also contributing. I was lucky to actually speak to a friend who's based in California, in LA specifically, who's really been working on with the county to help test and monitor some of the homeless populations in the city of Los Angeles. Now, the thing about Los Angeles is that Los Angeles has one of the highest homeless populations in the world. I think about 60,000, guys. I'm going to reference that to make sure that's accurate, but about 60,000 people are homeless at any given time in the city of Los Angeles. I mean, that's bigger than most city populations. So it's really a big issue, and it's believed that the coronavirus, you know, would be really a nightmare for these people who are on the streets and are in usually clustered in a lot of small housing kind of facilities, really kind of ramshackle housing, and, you know, a lot of crowding going on. So really a nightmare scenario for coronavirus and its propagation. So for that reason, this county of LA decided to really fund, you know, getting these folks off the street and into various residencies, hotels, abandoned buildings, so forth. Not abandoned buildings, sorry, abandoned residencies, homes that were, you know, and hotels and all kind of, you know, accommodations to allow them to, you know, kind of socially distance, if you will, especially if they tested positive. And I think it is helping a little bit. People who are on the street who test positive are put in housing for a couple of weeks to help, you know, them recover and not spread it to others. So, you know, it's been, I think, a success, but definitely I think it's only a small thing compared to the enormity of the issue as far as homelessness in LA. That, I think, is the overarching issue. And that's, you know, I think, potentially contributing combined with the other issues we mentioned earlier. So these are things that I think what coronavirus is really doing and is really shining a light, and that is on some of the inadequacies of the American health system and so forth, and the, you know, overall social system. And I think things that are hopefully because of the coronavirus will be focused on with more, you know, fervor and just kind of, you know, more zeal, if you will, by the political folks who run the show. So that's the thing with California. California is really leading the pack as far as the United States. Texas is right behind it, averaging about 3,500 new cases, about 100 deaths per day. Florida is number three, 2,000 new cases per day, about 150 deaths. New York is also rising as well. You know, we all know New York is one of the highest cases early on in the pandemic, as they had a pretty significant issue with the coronavirus early on. A lot of hospitals were being overwhelmed. So there's a lot of fear that when this season returns, as far as the fall season, which we are officially in now we're in the 1st of October today, but very soon we'll be officially in the fall season. And as a result, we are going to be, potentially seeing more numbers out of New York. So, you know, let's make sure, you know, we all keep New York in our thoughts and make sure that, I'm sure the governors and the leaders there are doing everything they can to ensure they reduce any potential spikes and whatnot. And New York has done very well as far as combating the pandemic. So I think they're going to be potentially okay there. And of course, South is coming in with Georgia as well, another state that's not really been extremely aggressive with, putting limitations on people's movement. They've actually, I think Florida, recently announced that everything's back open, and that's why they're number three now in the nation. So, you know, it's going to be a thing here, guys. It's really, kind of interesting how the United States has approached the whole coronavirus pandemic. And when you compare that to some of the other nations, particularly the Asian nations, you see kind of a stark difference in kind of the approach. And now the results of those different approaches and, you know, what's kind of led to what's essentially a reopening of those countries. Let's go back. Let's go to China, guys. China, of course, everyone knows is the place where it's believed coronavirus began. China, you know, after leading the pack early on as far as numbers are concerned, you know, they have kind of been reporting, you know, extremely low numbers to the point where coronavirus is considered essentially a thing of the past in China currently. And so if you remember, China was really the start of this whole quote-unquote pandemic, if you will. Again, they had kind of surge in cases early on that, again, many people here believe was heavily covered up and not really reported accurately. Some anecdotal evidence does show that could be the case, but unfortunately we don't have evidence for that, and that's kind of the way these things work. If the evidence didn't exist, you know, ultimately all you have is accusations with no proof. So, you know, while there may be some evidence potentially that China officially was hiding numbers, the official reports show that they barely have had any cases of coronavirus over the past few months. China was actually reported to have, let me see here, there was a new report that just came out regarding coronavirus in China, and it stated that China was essentially coronavirus free, and as a result they have opened the nation fully back up. They have a official holiday known as the Chinese National Day, where they take a week off and everyone travels, and officially you take off from work, so you're actually able to go back home. You know, in China, many people leave their village homes and head to the city to work, and they stay in the city. Some live at work, you know, for months at a time until they have a vacation. So this vacation was officially, you know, began, I think this past week. And as a result, hundreds of millions of people are about to go on vacation at the same time. So this would be considered a complete, you know, completely taboo in most countries right now due to coronavirus. So, but October 1st, you know, this is the first day of the Chinese National Day holidays. And so because China is now wide open because coronavirus is a thing of the past, it's now, you know, citizens are free to go with or without masks, and they're actually able to do their thing. So many people are saying this is kind of unfair, and as far as people outside of China, because they believe that, you know, China is not really telling the truth, and there's potentially, you know, people who are still sick but not being counted. So this massive movement of people will lead to a new surge. But because China doesn't tell the truth, according to some people, we won't never ever know, and this could potentially spread the virus more, because these people will be potentially leaving China. And if there's kind of a virus going on that's not being properly, you know, documented, or not truthfully being told, if you will, it can lead to other countries being put in danger if these people were to travel. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I think now people can test regularly now, so there's going to be strict testing and screening at airports, you know, globally. So, you know, now it's going to be really difficult for people to potentially travel and then bring the virus back, because they're going to be screened at the airport and probably forced to be under quarantine. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of things going on. So this virus has really changed how we move and how we operate. And, you know, as you know, United States is also too reopening, but there's still, you know, high numbers throughout the various states. So, you know, ultimately, it seems like coronavirus is going to be here to stay. The measures that have been recommended have really been kind of poo-pooed by the economists, if you will, because they say that, you know, the economy can't be killed due to a viral pandemic. And as a result, many businesses are reopening. Many states and nations are just simply, you know, deciding to reopen, you know, come what may. And unfortunately, that may be a lot of deaths. Alrighty, so speaking of deaths, actually, let's talk now about Africa. Now, one thing that's been, like we said earlier about Africa, is that, you know, they were predicted to have a lot of deaths as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Many people believe that, you know, African continent is a very, you know, poor health system, hence the reason a lot of its leaders fly to Europe and India and other countries for medical procedures, you know, and as a result of a neglect to the health sector in many countries in Africa, especially Nigeria, this supposed lion of Africa, the reality is that, you know, there was many fears that they would not be able to handle the large number of very, very sick people that would, you know, develop as a result of this pandemic. It's believed that, you know, that many hospitals, for instance, early on were really concerned about the number of ventilators that were available, because it was believed that in order to truly treat COVID-19 infections, especially when they get very, very ill, you're going to need a lot of ventilation capability, because ventilation means putting them on a breathing machine, meaning you're putting a tube in their throat to help them breathe. Because of the infection, they're not able to breathe properly. And it's believed that this is an essential treatment for this COVID-19. So if you don't have the capability to do this on a large scale, you potentially could be, you know, having a significant, you know, outbreak in your nation, and you won't be able to handle it. But what's been going on in Africa is that there's been, you know, a decrease, or not as many people having the severe complications when infected and when compared to their European counterparts. So there was some speculation early on that, you know, when these numbers were showing that, you know, like we talked about a few episodes ago, how in Kenya, for instance, there were parts of the countries and cities where coronavirus was believed to have been pretty much pervasive throughout the entire population, and with up to 25-30% of people actually having positive antibodies. Yet these people had a less than 1% death rate, and it was very few people who were actually sick from the coronavirus. So, you know, this kind of development throughout Africa has led to a lot of skepticism as far as coronavirus in general, and coronavirus not being real, and them, because they don't see people who have coronavirus, they're saying, this is all a hoax. And because it, in many countries in Africa, it potentially may appear that way because they don't see the millions of dead that were being predicted when this pandemic began. I can actually give you a personal story as well on this, because my mother, who was a nurse who lived in the United States for many years, who moved here when she was in her teens, moved back to Nigeria exactly approximately a few years ago. She relocated and said, you know what, I'm tired of living in the United States. I want to move back to Nigeria and live a different kind of life, which she did. And she's been very happy there. Now, the problem is that when the pandemic began, there was a lot of nervous, kind of jitters going on regarding this, because she felt that, well, there's millions potentially going to die. You know, is this place the best place to be at this time? And there was a lot of concerning, thoughts regarding that. And I know people, other friends and who have relatives in Africa, who decided to move their family back to America because of these fears. But now we're seeing as if the numbers in Africa are definitely a lot lower than were predicted. Many states throughout the African continent have really reported, extremely low numbers. For instance, Liberia, a country of 5 million people, has reported a total of 1,300 cases and about 82 deaths. I mean, an exceedingly low number. I mean, this is something the United States literally, it's probably like half of what the U.S., no, sorry, the U.S. just reported 40,000 new cases yesterday, but yet total Liberia only has 1,000 cases. So, I mean, just outrageously low numbers. It's almost like there, if someone said it's a hoax, you would probably be hard-pressed to prove them wrong, and that's just reality. Now, here in the United States, again, as an ER physician, I can tell you specifically that I have seen and treated patients with severe coronavirus infections, and it's definitely not a hoax, and it's something that is very real. But it's interesting how the differences of, this virus has affected different populations. Another example is Senegal. Senegal is a country, again, in Africa, in a large African nation. They actually were very aggressive early on. They put up multiple hospitals. They set up, significant COVID-19 testing facilities. They've actually been very good with testing. They can test people faster than we can in the United States. unfortunately, but they have test results come back 24 hours, and they aggressively contact trace, meaning if you get a positive test, they're making sure they follow you with through your cell phone, through personal monitoring. They're doing a lot of quarantining as well, and they have a population of 16 million people, yet have only registered 302 deaths. Rwanda, another country, 12 million people, and they also have been very aggressive with their response because of their history of severe pandemics, HIV pandemics they've been through. So they've had a lot of medical calamities there. And so they've we've had Ebola, so this coronavirus is a piece of cake. And they have only recorded 26 deaths. So it's just kind of, shocking how the African continent, which was predicted to really have a significant, just a disastrous response to coronaviruses, has really had just a very minimal kind of effect overall as far as their death rates and overall infectivity. Now, not all African countries are excluded or fall in this category. South Africa, for instance, did have has the largest in Africa with 600,000 cases and with 1,700 new cases per day, about 67 deaths a day. So they're definitely kind of in the same vein as a lot of the other nations outside of the continent, but the continent has kind of really been spared, if you will, as far as the deaths are concerned. But coronavirus is definitely there, and we know this due to the antibody tests we were seeing in various studies that are being conducted on the continent. So anyways, guys, this coming to the break, we're going to take a quick pause, come back after the commercial break, talk more about fitness, and maybe there's a relationship here why people on the continent have been spared. Now, again, I don't think it's the complete explanation, but there's potentially some link there. We're going to explore that, as well as other thoughts regarding health and wellness and fitness, guys. This is Dr. Barry. Stay tuned. We're going to be back shortly with more info. Peace. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection radio show / podcast. Again, this is your host, Dr. Barry. I want to thank you again for continuing to listen to the show, and hopefully, they're getting something out of it. If not, let us know. We can try to approach hit a topic that you may be interested in. And we're open to all suggestions, guys. So if you want to do something like that, please do not hesitate, to reach us, on our various mediums. You can hit me on Instagram at Dr. Barry MD. Check me out there, hit me on the DMs. I can definitely try to, respond there. I try to check them pretty regularly. And also on our Facebook page, where we actually post links to a lot of the articles you reference here on the show. For instance, the previous article regarding the numbers in Africa was a recent article in the Washington Post, and a lot of other great sources that we post on there. So if you're interested in getting some of the latest news and you want to read it for yourself, or you heard me say something, you're not really sure, you didn't follow it fully, you want to get more details or more info, definitely check our Facebook page, www.facebook.com /nextlevelweightloss, all spelled together as one word. So again, thanks for listening to the show. So again, guys, so back where we were discussing earlier. So there's definitely, like I said, a very interesting thing going on here regarding the COVID-19 and how it's affecting different countries across the globe. You know, and we said right before the break how, you know, Africa has really relatively been spared as far as the high numbers of dead that were expected due to how the scientists who were kind of discussing some of the potential issues regarding this virus, you know, how it would affect the continent of Africa. So, you know, many people are saying that, you know, Africa has been spared because of maybe a potential different virus has been hitting the continent. It's not the same, but we've seen that there's definitely some evidence that the virus that affected Italy actually was the same virus that was found in various countries. Now, the coronavirus does mutate quite rapidly, so there's been slight modifications as the virus has moved across the globe and as time has passed. So, you know, we'll be looking at, you know, what true modifications have existed. I know we talked about some of the mutations that were being documented in some of the recent viral assessments that were being done in various countries. And there's some evidence that it's potentially possible that the virus has weakened in some of the various mutations. And it has, you know, many believing that potentially the overall pandemic could be less aggressive than was predicted due to some of the new tests that were being discovered. And actually, a recent study out of Detroit, Michigan, a place I used to live and train, actually. Shout out to Beaumont Hospital out there in Detroit. Or I just say Royal Oak, Michigan, outside of Detroit. But either way, there's some studies going on there at actually Wayne State University, which is in Detroit. And they actually started to analyze some of the viral loads seen in various populations of, you know, the SARS-CoV-19 vaccine. This is actually done scanning patients in Detroit specifically. And it was seen that actually the viral load, when we say viral loads, guys, remember coronavirus, when it attacks, it multiplies in the nose and the mouth. So that's why the throat and the big area where you're swabbed to see if you have an infection. So they basically scanned people and it was found that, you know, over the past few months, people have had relatively decreasing viral loads when they've been scanned as far as people who are testing positive. And it's believed that as a result, people who have decreasing viral loads are technically less infectious, meaning that they're less likely to spread the virus because there's less virus there. It's a numbers thing. So it's believed that because these patients are showing now decreased viral loads, it's possible that maybe the virus is weakening. And that's why the numbers that are expected for the fall here, even in the United States, may not be as aggressive as potentially predicted. So we're going to be following this. Obviously, it's very interesting to see how this thing moves. And of course, you know, this is something that we're not sure of. And this is hence why the vaccine has been such a big push. Vaccine issues are still being, you know, worked on. Believe now that, you know, the vaccine probably won't be ready till next year, summer at earliest. So it's not something we should even be really focused on intently. It's all about making sure we're doing what we can to maximize our health today. It's not about waiting for a vaccine or even hoping that's going to cure everything. You got to really do what you can to do. And it's believed that, you know, the African continent may be benefiting from this fact. And the reality is this, obesity has been truly, you know, devastating for the developing world. It's believed that many populations here in the United States, for instance, especially the lower socioeconomic groups, are suffering more from complications from coronavirus, in part due to increased rates of obesity in these communities. And so it's believed that, you know, the lower numbers of obesity on the African continent is potentially helping them because if they have a younger, healthier population, even though they're definitely poor as far as when you look at the gross numbers now, a lot of rich Africans as well, don't get me twisted. But, you know, as a whole, you know, there's a lot more people who are, you know, in lower socioeconomic status in Africa when compared to other developing nations, other nations, I should say. So as a result, you know, it's definitely not, you know, health wealthiness that's helping people stay alive. Now, in America, it's definitely seen that folks who are doing better, who have increased access to resources as well as increased access to health facilities, tend to do better with the coronavirus. And so, you know, in certain instances, especially here in the United States, you know, resources and wealth can be a very protective factor. Now, in Africa, where there's a lot more poverty, you know, people expected, you know, that to be a reason why there'll be a lot more deaths, but we're not seeing that. And it's believed that some of the potential benefits that people in African continent are, you know, benefiting from that they may not be seeing here in the United States is potentially, you know, increased, you know, physical fitness, you know, people, you know, who are live in Africa tend to have to walk more, tend to have to be more physically active in order to get around. Cars are not as plentiful. More people ride bikes regularly for activities and so forth. And then people also eat less as well. There's less food, you know, as far as fast food every 5 seconds and other potentially unhealthy options that are not as easily available as they are in the United States. You know, we actually go through all this in my book, Next Level Weight Loss 2.0, so definitely check that out. I actually talk about how when I moved to Africa, to Nigeria specifically, as a youth, actually in high school, lived there for a couple years. I left here as an overweight teen. Went to actually the city of Umuahia, which is in the eastern part of Nigeria. Lived there for about a couple years and ended up losing weight, becoming much healthier, and kind of began my health and wellness journey. I kind of talk about more of that in my book, Next Level Weight Loss 2.0. Check that on Amazon if you're interested in reading more, learning more, and learning how to lose weight. So that being said, Africa, definitely there's some benefits as far as the health of the population there. That may be protecting some of it. And so as a result, I want to talk briefly, guys, about physical fitness and why it's so important as far as how everyone needs to really improve their fitness, to really improve their chances of, you know, doing well if you do even get infected. So briefly, the benefits of physical fitness that we stated previously or multiple times on this show is that, you know, being active, you know, improves your overall immune system's competency. It improves your body's ability to fight illness. It helps reduce your risk of many chronic diseases, like we said earlier, like obesity, coronary artery disease, which is heart disease. Risk of stroke is reduced. I mean, everything is really improved, and your body just functions better. But the key is, many people get scared. They think of working out. They think going to the gym. You know, large muscle bound guys grunting and you know, scaring people, throwing weights around and so forth. And that happens, but not everywhere. I'm gonna be honest, guys. There's different places you can go to. There's gyms cater to every, lifestyle. And now with coronavirus, and this kind of gyms have been, unfortunately, been considered high risk areas, which they are because of the COVID-19's ability to spread so easily when you're huffing and puffing. And if you're sick, you're gonna really be a super spreader, if you will. Many people are actually creating, other alternatives that can actually allow for safer physical activity, and outdoor working out has never been, more popular. I personally, who was, considered someone who went to the gym regularly, have almost completely converted myself to an outdoor kind of physical activity kind of regimen where I'm just doing, running in place, doing jump rope, which has been fantastic. I mean, jumping rope is one of the best ways to burn calories and work out and still, feel like you've accomplished something. I mean, it's really impressive how jump rope has, really been a great way to replace a lot of exercise that I was doing previously. But you want to definitely get some cardiovascular in there. And I always recommend walking in place is kind of hard if you think about it, but walking around, doing some jogging, swimming, biking is also fun. And that's one thing I actually seen. Biking has been extremely more popular since this coronavirus pandemic began. If you're in the United States, go and try to buy a bicycle right now. I guarantee you it's going to be a hard thing to do because bikes have been selling like crazy. My local Walmart and Academy and other stores that sell sports equipment have literally been sold out of bikes for the past, few months now. It's good because people are realizing that now biking is a great alternative. People who don't like the outdoors are doing more indoor biking. Like the Peloton is a great biking system that kind of mimics, spinning, which is essentially the indoor biking exercise where you're just kind of working hard, biking indoors on a stationary bike. It's been increasingly popular here in the United States and really globally. Peloton is a company that makes indoor bikes that work through the internet, and you can actually work out with others over the internet. So many people are enjoying that, and those, things are selling like crazy now. So I recommend that. A lot of friends who use those really enjoy them. So consider different ways to work out, and you understand that you don't really have to be in the gym to really get a workout on, if you will. Now, you also want to also incorporate strength or resistance training. Resistance training is very important because when you work out with physical, weights, you actually help your muscles grow and become stronger. When your muscles are stronger, it actually will boost your metabolism because your muscles actually require a lot more to stay how they look as opposed to fat. If you have a lot of fat and low muscle, your body will really slow down your metabolism because you don't really need all that extra energy. If you have a lot of muscles or more muscles than you did previously, your body will boost your metabolism to maintain the muscle's integrity. So, you know, using resistance bands, lifting weights, or just doing calisthenics. You don't really need to lift weights as far as heavy iron in the gym, pumping iron. You can actually just doing push-ups, doing pull-ups, and doing resistance bands, things like that are excellent ways to build strength and improve your overall, you know, ability to, you know, be a functional, you know, human being. When you have stronger muscles, you can actually do more, be more functional, lift things, you know, and you actually reduce your risk of injury. You know, you reduce your risk of breaking bones, dislocating joints if you have strong muscles to help support your frame. So cannot stress enough how important it is to work out regularly. Core exercises are excellent. Squats are fantastic. Making sure you're doing things. And if you need help, definitely consider reaching out to a trainer. These to help you create a workout regimen. And at the very least, you know, there's a lot of resources on the internet and YouTube where you can look and get information on how to work out and how to do it safely. Now, when it comes to also working out, you also want to consider balance exercises. Balance exercises can be fantastic because they can help also build muscle strength and core strength and increase flexibility. All this is also excellent for your overall body's functionality. Now, balance exercises are very popular in things like yoga and Tai Chi. If you notice, most people who do yoga are very fit and, tend to be, have excellent frames. Why? Because those workouts are a very excellent way to strengthen and tone muscles. When you have strong and toned muscles, your metabolism is higher, which allows you to burn calories even in between workouts. So you want to get that strength up. Balance exercises are great for that. You know, I consider, yoga an excellent option for those who are trying to do things that are lower impact, but still very effective. So check out yoga if you're interested in getting that balance on point. Flexibility is also very important as well, because as your muscles grow, they need to be more pliable and flexible. This is how people sometimes tear ligaments, tear their muscles doing routine activities because they're not flexible. So you got to get more flexible. Stretching is critical for that. Yoga also is an excellent alternative, excellent way to get those flexibility capabilities up to snuff. So definitely work on that if you're trying to be, fit and somehow, improved as far as your overall, regimen. Now, how you should be working out as far as frequency. People say, "Oh, working every day, dude." That's not necessary. You don't need to be every day in the gym. That's something that people do. Some people lie all the time saying they're doing that. People who only should be in the gym every day, literally, are athletes. If you're working out because you're getting, you're trying to get on a team of some sort of sport, you got to train, you're a boxer or something like that, yes, every day is required to be at your best. If you're just a guy working a 9-to-5 in a desk job somewhere, I mean, that's not necessary. Now, you can do it if you have the time, but I wouldn't say you have to go to the gym every day or else you're in trouble. No, you literally can do workouts 3 times a week, as little as 10 to 15 minutes at a time. That's really all your body needs to kind of get that metabolism going, do some little bit of, improvement in your strength. It doesn't take a long time. Now, I say 10 minutes is the bare minimum. So obviously, you want to do the bare minimum, you'll get bare minimum results. If you want to do something and get a little bit more results and have an effective potential outcome, I would recommend at least 30 to 45 minutes 3 times a week. If you can do that regularly, this is walking, resistance training, bands, pull-ups, push-ups, jump rope, anything like that. You don't have to be complex with it. Do it 45 minutes, 3 times a week. That will do magnificent wonders to your overall health and wellness. So, we're running out of time, guys. So overall, physical fitness is so important. It's so critical that, we reduce our rates of obesity, because that is one thing that we see is really increasing the rates of death and morbidity in populations. This coronavirus has shown that, even having the top-notch health systems, it's still, you're at a disadvantage if you're not healthy, because you're going to have to spend that $1 million in ICU to get well, when in fact, if you were potentially in better shape and had potentially, improved numbers, ultimately you could have potentially not been as sick. And that's something we're seeing now. So that's why it's so critical we are focused on preventative health, making sure we're as healthy as possible so that we can be at our best when we have to come across anything, be it a coronavirus or whatever. Now, the reality is that, ultimately nothing is guaranteed. You still work out every day and get sick and die for whatever reason. But, as someone who likes to play odds, you want to improve your chances the best way you can over things you can't control. So making sure you're active is something we all can control. So let's try to do that so we can really improve our ability to, stay safe during the pandemic. So, guys, I'm out of here. The show's about to end. We run over time, but, hopefully you guys stuck with us still. Thanks for listening to the show. We have more hotness coming next week. So, guys, stay tuned. A lot of exciting developments coming on. gonna be on TV, guys. You're gonna see my ugly mug on the screen on your local app or whatever. Hope you download the app by now, guys. We're gonna update the app. It's gonna be super freaking amazing. We got so many great ideas and plans coming on board. Hope you'll be around with us. It's Dr. Barry on the Health and Wellness Connection, broadcasting on Afro Vibes TV and radio. I'm out, guys. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast and radio show. For more information on ways to get healthy, please check us out. www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. Here you can re-listen to the show, check out older shows, and even further support the show by becoming a subscriber to the podcast. Please check us out today. Again, that's anchor.fm/HW Connection. And also, don't forget to follow Dr. Barry on Instagram @DrBarryMD. Until next time, stay healthy.